This is God's house, and I'm really honored to be here and to share. I enjoyed what Pastor Stephen had to say about us building our lives and building things that last. It's really important to build things that last. I remember when I was at high school, and the principal of the school made an announcement and sent newsletters home to our families to say that we want to raise funds for a swimming pool at the school, at the high school. And so it was like something quite new. And so in the canteen area where you would go and you would buy things, they'd have like boxes where you can just put change in, you can put $2 in. They didn't have $2 coins back then, but they had $2 notes. Who remembers the $2 notes? $2 notes and $1 notes. So you could put money in there. So I did. I'd put money in there. And we didn't know whether we would get use of it, because you didn't know that once they raised the funds, they'd build it. But I actually never got to swim in it. Years later, when I left, probably about the year we left, they started building it. And when I left, I never got the enjoyment of swimming in the pool. But I can tell you this, that 45 years later, every time I drive past the high school, Balcatta Senior High School, it's on this hill, and there's these pinnacles there where we used to, if there's one period we didn't want to do, it might be maths or science, we'd go and hide up there and just sit with our friends and chat, and you'd wag some school. Don't you do that. Yes, don't. You go to school every day, be there all day. Good boy. Don't say, Mum, the preacher did it. So every time I go past the school, and I've seen the pool, and I feel like, do you know what? I was a part of this. Thousands and thousands of kids have been able to swim in the pool, get enjoyment out of it. I don't know if there's ever been any champions come from the school. I don't know. But do you know what? I can remember people saying, oh, we're not going to get to use it, so why should we give? But, you know, that's not a heart of generosity, is it? That's quite stingy, you know. Anyway, so it's really good to build things that last. Although that was a swimming pool and I never got to use it, it was really good. Even after 45 years, it's still going. The pool is still there. People are still using it and enjoying it. And so Jesus, right, he, over 2,000 years ago, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build it. And so it takes people to build God's house. It took Solomon and a lot of the community to build Solomon's temple. But so look at the church today all over the world. Look how big it is. Look how massive it is. Look how much people get to enjoy coming to the house of God. But also have a look at how the church has been a vehicle of blessing to the world. You know, I know that Holy Trinity Brompton in England, they've raised hundreds and thousands of dollars to help people in Poland, to help the refugees that have escaped there from Ukraine. And so the church is a place of blessing, and it's a place that God calls all of us to help build. Now, I want to encourage you that when you come to church, to think of this as, this is not a place that you go to. I'm going to church. I mean, I know we say that, we're going to church, but this is a place that I am a part of. Not just a place that you go to, but this is a place that I am a part of. I am part of the community here. If you've decided to make this your church, your house, your community, well, You're a part of this. And together we can, God calls us to build his church. Paul says we are co-laborers with Jesus Christ in building God's house to bring God's kingdom to pass here on this earth. Now, some of you are new here. At Fremantle, where I attend, people many, many years ago, or teams of us, you know, we gave and were able to have our own building and also here. Obviously, there's a mortgage on it, but for the benefit of the community. So there are some things I want to encourage us in building this house here in Kwinana, Wirlat, Orillia, Parmelia, you know, this whole area. And it's very basic things. One of those things is I want to encourage you to be a people that love one another. Jesus tells us to love one another, to look out for each other. I'm going to read this scripture. Have you got the scripture verse up there, Michael? Bianca, you got it there? Okay. Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those that need a meal or a place to stay. It's important to show love when people come here. That we love on them, that we care for them, we help them feel at home here in this house. I know when I talk to people and I say, "Why do you come here?" Many of them say to me, "Because they welcomed me." In Fremantle, we had lots of, this is close to 20 years ago, when we had lots of refugees come through Fremantle. We helped them through Port Care with clothing and food. Many of them came and stayed, and Fremantle became their home church because they felt loved and cared for. Not only because of food and clothing, but also emotional support. Also being there so that they can talk to someone and share about their story and about their journey. You know, it's really easy before church or after church to say hello to your friends and hang out with them and have a good laugh. But what about those you haven't met yet? Step out and say hello. Step out and greet them. Make them feel welcome. Make them feel loved. Have you ever been to a place that's quite foreign? When I say foreign, I don't mean a country. I mean, it might be a football wind-up. It might be a soccer wind-up with your kids. Could be the soccer game your kids go to. It could be a school function. And you walk in there and you feel like you're on quicksand. It's like, earth, please swallow me up. Because you just feel alone. And at times you feel like maybe abandoned is a word. But when someone comes and greets you and welcomes you, oh, that makes a big difference. So let's be people that love, that greet people, make people feel welcome, make people feel at home here. So love, point number one. Point number two is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. We all have something that we can give, something that we can offer. So point one is love. Point two is serving. Be someone that's willing to serve, to help out. Whether it's in the kitchen or on the door or in the children's area. Because these are vital, important ministries of the church. They're really, really important. I heard a story about a gentleman who had gone to church. There was two of them who had gone to church, and church was quite full, and they were about to walk out, but an usher grabbed them, says, no, I'll find you a seat. Led them into the service, found them a seat and sat them down. And one of those men went on to become quite a prominent preacher, and his name is Billy Graham. But before that, there was other things that happened that were a blessing to having them to in church, someone inviting them, someone getting them there. And the usher, everybody's important, because we are the church. We are the Lord's hands. We are his feet. So serving. Ever since I've been coming down here, I just want to acknowledge some people here. Michael at the back there, I've always seen you serving. Part of the team there. Awesome. It's amazing. Keep it up. Bianca, the whole team. Janine in the kitchen. Andrew setting up today. That was really good, by the way. Did an awesome job. Helen, I know you do a lot of stuff. The worship team, Elta, not here today. He has to isolate. But what your role is and what you do is amazing. It is really a blessing. It's a gift to your community church here. Raquel in Kids Zone, in the children's ministry. That is so, so important. What she's instilling in children's lives, in your children, in your grandchildren. Who knows what those kids are going to become? One might be the mayor of the town one day. One might be a politician. One might be a great sportsman, sportswoman. You don't know. You don't know how instrumental you are in helping and serving other people. When my wife and I got married, we had the pamphlet that we gave out to everybody of the order of service. And on the front of the pamphlet, we had the scriptures. Serve the Lord with gladness. That was one. The theme was, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Me and my house will serve the Lord. Today, I have my son is 30. My other son is 25. And my daughter is 23. I thought she was 22, but my wife corrected me. She's 23. To this very day, they all serve in God's house. My daughter's in London. She's part of a church over there, and she's serving. My son here in Perth serves. My son in Sydney, serving God. They're not in full-time ministry. You don't have to be in full-time ministry. You know, what that usher did that day when he welcomed and found a seat for those two people was so powerful, just as powerful as being up here sharing a message. So serving, and we all do have something to offer. We all do have something that we can give. I wonder how many of you sitting here know how to play an instrument or know how to sing. Hey, put your hand up. Come and talk to Andrew. Say, hey, I want to get involved in the music team. Or why not the children's area? Welcoming at the front. There's lots of areas that we can help and we can serve. Serving is, it's actually great fun. You can have fun while you're serving. It's not a place where you can't have fun. Have fun. Whatever area you're in the church, have fun, enjoy it. If you're telling me you're not having fun, come and tell me and I'll help you. I'll help you have fun. So number three, pray. So number one, love. Two, serve. Three, pray. We're people of prayer. Have a lifestyle of praying. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all those who are in authority so that we can live a peaceful and quiet life marked by godliness and dignity. We live in, it's been some crazy times the last couple of years. We need to be praying. We need to be asking God to have mercy globally, the Ukraine. Now, I don't have the big picture. I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I know this, that we can pray. We can pray for God to do miracles. I'd rather pray and have miracles and have some miracles than not pray and have nothing. Let me tell you that there's a lot of miracles going on in Ukraine that we don't even know about. Continue to pray for Ukraine. Continue to pray for the people of Russia. Just pray, pray and pray. There's something that you can pray for. Pray for our leaders here in Australia. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. When there's a church prayer meeting here, come and pray. Come, be a part and pray. That's really, really, really good, really vital. I've seen things change because of prayer. We had a lady at Port Care. I run a charity for our churches called Port Care. And so we see a lot of people come in. It's a low-cost food shop, clothing, and furniture. And so we also help schools with breakfast programs. We do a lot of things in our community. We do community meals on a Friday and on a Tuesday. And yeah, one of the ladies that comes and helps us, she serves, okay? And she helps us. And she said to us, I really would like to have a child, a second child. She had a first child, but she's been trying for years to have a second child. She hasn't been able to. And so we've been praying for her every week. I have a list on my phone, people that I pray for. I pray for her. And so she's part of a church community, and I'm sure she's had her church community praying for her also. And so a couple of weeks ago, we received a message from her to say that she's pregnant. Very, very early days, but she's pregnant. She says, can you please continue to pray for me? So that's, what do you think? How good is that? God wants to see our visions, our dreams come to pass too. Now, I know that it doesn't happen in every instant. Maybe because God has a higher calling. But I've seen this many times. Miracles where God has answered prayers of people who have never been able to have their first home, been able to get a home. Children. I've seen many miracles with children. Many. Many. Healings of parts of bodies. I've seen people being healed. Better to pray and see nothing. Sorry, better to pray and see some miracles and some healings and answers to prayer than not pray and see nothing. So we're people of prayer. Don't give up to pray. Love, serving, prayer. Number four is worship. Coming here on a Sunday, being in the house of God. For me, it's no compromise. It's always been like that for me, no compromise. A friend can ring me and say, do you want to go out for breakfast? You know, do you want to go to the beach? Do you want to? I'm going to church. That's my, I won't compromise. Unless I'm sick, unless there's something, a family issue that has to be attended to, whatever it may be. It's quite rare that I will not be in the house of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Be a people that come to God's house. Be a people that come to God's community here. Be a part of what's happening here in the house on a Sunday. And expect and believe God that he's going to do something in your heart. That you're going to see a miracle. But come to worship God. Come because that's what he wants of us. He wants our hearts. He wants us to get to know him more and more. And this is a great place to start. This is one of the best places to learn to pray, best places to learn to worship, to sing, to hear the word of God. I mean, we need to be praying and reading the word of God each day anyway. But Sunday mornings, God calls us to come and be in his house. Number five, unity. Unity. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Keep the unity. You might have different opinions on things, on world events, on the epidemic, but keep the peace. Stay in unity. It's okay to agree to disagree, but it's not worth getting into an argument. It's not getting into an argument, getting divisive. Ooh, who would be behind that? Who's behind that? Who likes to cause disunity? Keep the peace. Stay in unity. Stay together. Stay united. Okay? Number six, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. You know, I see that we are stewards of God's resources. Now, whose are we and whose is it? Whose are we and whose is it? Steve shared this morning about giving in tithes. I've been doing that for years and years and years. That's just what we do. There's the blessing of God when we tithe. But then there's offerings, and that's another thing again. I know we're talking about our story, our future in these coming months. You know, about sowing into things with the building program. I felt to share this story. This is my story, my wife's story, my family's story. And this is how it goes. When my son was 10, my other son was 6 or 4, and my daughter was 2. My wife and I had made connection with my family back in Italy. And so we'd planned a holiday to go to Italy, take everybody. And my wife is a very good planner. She's exceptional. She knows how to save money. You know, you put it away. And so we'd put it away. And there was time, and throughout the journey of the church, those times there were special offerings. And so we'd have to use some of those finances. And so it was like, oh, we're supposed to go on this trip. And we would pray and we'd ask the Lord, we'd say, God, what do you want to do here? What should we give? And God would show us, he'd put an impression in our hearts on what to give. Remember Helen's message last week? Was that last week? Yes. What was the title of the message? If you say so, Lord. If you say so, Lord. So it's like, okay, if you say so, Lord. So we would give. And you kind of feel like, oh, will we really end up getting to this trip, getting to this holiday? And as the journey went on, there was one particular time when this was a big one. This was thousands of dollars. Not tens, not, you know, thousands. And it was really hard. And talked with my wife, and this was really, so I was like, do I do this or don't I? We felt right to do it. And it's like, okay, if I keep it, well, that's awesome, that's great. But if I give it, I'm letting it go. And if I keep it, it's great. But if I keep it, what will I miss out on? God wants me to give it. So what am I going to miss out on? God says, blessed are those that give. So, okay, Lord. So anyway, Lord, if you say so. So we gave. And the time came for our holiday. And we had enough money for the plane tickets for all of us. But we had no spending money. It was like, that's what it was like. So it was like, we'll get a credit card. We'll pay everything by credit. When we come back, we'll pay for it. Work another, you know. So anyway, so a couple of weeks before we left, we had people in church come up to us and bless us. Say, hey, just feel to bless you. People blessing us with finance. I thought, wow, gee, God, thanks. You're looking out for me. And I had my brother, who I'd seen 2 days before I'd left. He says, I'm going to come and see you at the airport before you go. I go, well, just say goodbye here. You don't have to come to the airport. He said, no, I want to come to the airport. And so my brother comes to the airport and he blesses me financially as well. And I was like, wow, you know. It was just really quite amazing. It was just, blessed are you that give. But, so we went on a trip. We visited Switzerland, France, England, and Italy. In Italy, I got family. So when I was in Italy and catching up with family and having a really good time, it was really wonderful. And I got blessed financially by a family member. And I don't mean blessed like just happy. I mean overwhelmed. Like financially just a lot more than what I gave on that offering that I gave. A lot more. A lot more. And so we came back to Australia. But on the plane on the way back, I'm sitting in my seat and I'm contemplating and being very reflective and going, Lord, this is just overwhelming. This is amazing. How come this has all come about like this? We've come back with more. More. I don't have to pay anything off my credit card except once when I got some fuel in the middle of the night. I had to pay by credit card. It was nothing. Come back to Australia with being financially blessed more than what we ever, ever, ever thought. So when we don't, and God's telling you to do it, what are we missing out on? Wow. I just, that scares me, the thought of that. And so as this year, as we give to God, in your tithes and in other offerings that you prepare for, ask God. Say, Lord, what do you want to do here? What shall I give? If you're a married couple, pray together as a husband and wife. And the Lord will give you, you'll find it'll be the same amount. That's awesome. That's one of my, that's God being super, super generous. It's a bit like when my kids were kids and we'd drive to Hungry Jack's or McDonald's because they wanted, you know, chips and whatever. You do that. We didn't do it all the time, but there was times we were extravagant with them. Wow. You go in, you get them their burger, their chips and their drink. I wouldn't get anything because I just didn't want anything. But once it's in the car and you can smell the chips, it's like, oh, gee, I should have ordered some chips. But then you're like, I better not pick on the kids, but I'll pick on one. Brianna, can you give me some chips? No, these are mine. Brianna, just a couple. No, these are mine. And I'm like, I bought those. I paid for them. It came out of my pocket. You don't even want to give me some chips. Sometimes I think we're like that with God. God does things for us. We can bless God back, but we're like, no, no, this is mine. Whose are we? Whose are we? And whose is it? Whose are we and whose is it? So giving. So that's number 6. What was the first one? Love. 2, 3, 4, 5. Very good. 6. Okay. And number 7 is my last one, Luke chapter 15, verse 7. In the same way, there is no more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Number 7 is we're people that reach out. God, we're not a part of God's community just for each other and just to come and worship God and have a bless me club. It's not about that. So being empowered and going out and reaching out to people in your workplace, in your sporting club, wherever you may be. God calls us and wants us to reach out with kindness and love. Now, at Port Care that we run, we don't preach the gospel to everybody that comes in the store, everyone we see. But we are inclined our ears to hear and to listen to what's going on in their world and then share where it's appropriate. But we're at Port Care. We have developed over the years we're a place that care for people. People have dignity when they come in and need help. There's kindness. Do we get it right? No, we don't get it right all the time. But we are. That's what we cultivate. A place of where it's love, where we're serving, where there's unity, a place where we just don't meet a change, just don't meet a need, but help change a life. So Pastor Stephen this morning spoke about building things that last. He talked about gold, silver, and gems. Now, reaching out, unity, love, serving, attending, you know, worship, all of these things is gold, is silver, and it's gems. When we give into things for our future, that's what you're sowing. You're blessing. There's a blessing now, and you're blessing people that are coming behind you. Now, you might be like, I'm only going to be in this area for 6 months or a year. Well, hey, be a part of God's community. Bless God's house. Build it. Be a part of this. and see what God does with your life. Just see what God does as you bless God in all these areas. So they are the seven power tools. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do this. Let's stand up.